Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
That is the voice of U.S. President Donald Trump. He was speaking on the sidelines of a press briefing that took place in the White House 2 days ago on the 11th of October. That audio is courtesy of the Wall Street Journal News and the YouTube channel, essentially commenting on, as you've heard, an upcoming meeting that he has with China, the back and forth that they've been engaging on, and of course, the critical aspect and minerals that this particular trade salvo now impacts in terms of sectors of the economy. To tell us more, we thought we'd get some perspective from a good friend of ours here at Kaya 959, Chief Economist and Head of Research at RMB, Azaya Mhlanga. Azaya, I've always enjoyed speaking to you and hearing your economic analysis. And I guess 2025, like every other year, has been characterized by uncertainty. But this latest salvo of Trump, the tariffs and China, it just seems like it's never ending, and the boat just rocks a lot harder from side to side. But I'm keen to get your analysis very briefly of this weekend's activities.
Indeed, the levels of uncertainty that we're experiencing this year in particular is potentially the worst we have seen in many decades. It just shows that the global economy has been turned upside down. What we understood to be the economic relationships and allies between countries doesn't hold anymore, which means anything can happen. So we have to live with the volatility. And within that, then we see a Donald Trump that continues to hike tariffs, to reduce them, change anytime essentially he wants to negotiate for something new. And as you know, the clip that you played shows there is a meeting that is going to take place between the Chinese authorities and the U.S. authorities soon. And it seems this 100% increase in tariffs for Chinese products is aimed at trying to persuade, or at least to get a competitive advantage going into that meeting. But the impact that it has on markets, it does real damage, to economies. It also dents confidence, makes it difficult for corporates to plan, which means the consequences can far outlive the negotiation period, even if these tariffs were to be reduced in future. All it says is U.S. policy can no longer be trusted to a large extent relative to where we're coming from. And that we see reflected in the dollar. It has been weakening throughout much of this year, despite the fact that tariffs should lead to a stronger currency. The weakening that we have seen, it's a question mark on the stability of the U.S. dollar on the back of stability of U.S. policy, which forces a lot of investors to rather prefer to hold gold rather than to hold U.S. treasuries as they used to before.
Got you. And as you say, you know, for as long as we have this uncertainty, then certain commodities will see a heightened level of capital investment. Is that what I'm also keen just to hear your views and thoughts on is the unique nature of these particular tariffs? They are directed at any and all critical software, as described by the U.S. And typically, for anyone who has a laptop, a phone, I can imagine even data centers, they are very primary and critical resources that are mined on a continent like Africa, but then exported and beneficiated in markets like China, where they are then used in the form of the development and growth of technology. This in itself is also very intentional and can have very deliberate consequences, especially given the linkages we see to the AI boom on the stock market. I'm just keen to get your analysis of the specificity of the nature of these particular tariffs.
Look, if we take a much more broader view, it's a technology war that's taking place. So essentially, anything that can slow China's growth from a technology perspective is going to be used, which is why we're seeing these sort of tariffs. But also, China is a big economy that has the ability to respond, and they have responded, also banning exports of rare earth minerals, which is going to have an impact in the value chains across all these commodities. The U.S. depends to a very large extent on Chinese supply of rare earth minerals. So that response is going to moderate how the U.S. approaches China. So what we're seeing is really a fight between two largest economies trying to dominate the technology space and advancement into military equipment, drones, AI. That's what we're seeing. But it's showing up in ways that has a bigger impact beyond the two economies that are at fight. So essentially, we are the ponies in a fight between two giants.
Mm. And that's the concern, is that the ripple effects are quite far reaching. I'm intrigued to also understand, the level of ripple effects that this could have on assistant or emerging markets, especially like South Africa, if we do consider our relationship with BRICS. Could there be unforeseen consequences here that could catch up with the rest of the global economy?
There are always unforeseen consequences, potentially more negative than positive, every time you have two big economies having an economic fight. The one obvious one that we see that is much more prevalent in our faces is the imports of Chinese manufactured cars into our markets. So as the Chinese authorities are diversifying away from the U.S. economy, they are going to sell those products in markets that continue to remain open. We're one of those markets. But also combined with the fact that we are a member of BRICS countries, and we say we must trade more, we must open our trade a lot more within the BRICS countries, it means we are opening up to ourselves to Chinese manufactured products. And you can see traditional automotive producers that manufacture in the South African economy. You could think about the Eastern Cape, for instance, which has a lot of those manufacturers in that region. Now they have to face competition from Chinese manufactured products that have been imported at a much lower price, and they can't compete. Hence, you have had potential closures or partial closures of some manufacturing plants, which has a direct impact in terms of job losses. That's just one symptom. Mm. We should think about other sectors of the economy that are likely to be recipients of other countries' manufactured products that are trying to divert away from the U.S. into other markets. Domestic producers are unlikely to be able to compete from an efficiency perspective, from a productivity perspective, from the cost of production perspective, relative to some of the countries that we are peers and trade partners to, which means they are sectors at risk. Even though from a commodity price perspective, gold is performing very well, all-time high, platinum also expected to perform very well. These are commodities that we export, which means our terms of trade or the value of what we export outside from a commodity perspective relative to the commodities that we import, that continues to rise, improves our external accounts, and therefore reduces our external funding requirements, which is in part why you're also seeing the rand dollar exchange rate performing very well, because in part the commodities such as gold and platinum are performing very well, and these are commodities that we export. Those are positive, but the bigger damage is in our industrial base, where there are immediate consequences in terms of job losses that have a real impact on families.
100%. Izza, thank you so much for your analysis. I'm also quite keen, just to ask this last question, if you could characterize, the level of volatility and complexity that's involved at the moment. As you've described, lack of confidence in the U.S., we are seeing certain commodities and asset classes performing a lot better. But how is this different to any other time we've witnessed volatility, significant market sell-offs and increases in previous years? What makes this one different, or perhaps a lot more unusual for us as investment participants to stomach?
Okay, let me put it this way. Learning from what we experienced in COVID, a natural disaster that shut down economies, what we have learned over the last year or so is that politics can be as bad as a natural disaster like COVID.
Uh-huh.
And the way we can look at it is we had three budgets tabled in COVID. This year, we also had three budgets tabled. And that is because we had elections, changing governments, changing economic policies, some of which are coming with the Donald Trump presidency from the U.S., which are disrupting the way that we have understood the global economy to work. So we are seeing and living with the implications of political change, which has brought in a change in economic policy and therefore the volatility that we have.
100%. Azar, thank you so much for your time as always. Really appreciate your feedback. I hope you and your colleagues as economists are sleeping well at night, because you, it's like a tweet a minute and it changes things.
Indeed, always a pleasure chatting with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Azar Mhlanga, Chief Economist and Head of Research at RMB.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.